One Witness Radio Broadcast, hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. Coming up next is a sermon from our 2016 Autumn Assembly of Prayer, an annual conference held in Branson, Missouri. Stay tuned to the end of this broadcast to find out how to receive the complete conference series today.
And I want to read you, first of all, something someone sent me in Europe, and it's called Lights Out in Europe. And this is a speech by the chairman of the Party of the Freedom of the Netherlands, the Party for Freedom, the Netherlands. He is in the parliament in the Netherlands. And he came to New York there to minister at the Four Seasons. And he is giving a synopsis of what Europe looks like right now. I want you to listen very carefully. He said, "Thank you very much for inviting me. I come to America with a mission. All is not well in the old world." Speaking of Europe, there is a tremendous danger looming, and it's very difficult to be optimistic. We might be in the final stages of the Islamization of Europe. This not only is a clear and a present danger to the future of Europe itself, it is a threat to America and the sheer survival of the West. The United States, as the last bastion of Western civilization, facing an Islamic Europe. First, I will describe the situation on the ground in Europe. The Europe you know is changing. You have probably seen the landmarks. But in all of these cities, sometimes a few blocks away from your tourist destination, there is another world. It is the world of the parallel society created by Muslim mass migration. All throughout Europe, a new reality is rising. Entire Muslim neighborhoods where very few indigenous people reside or are even seen. And if they are, they might regret it. This goes for the police as well. It is the world of headscarves where women walk around in figureless tents with baby strollers and a group of children. Their husbands or slaveholders, if you prefer, walk three steps ahead with mosques on many street corners. The shops have signs you and I cannot read. You will be hard-pressed to find any economic activity. These are Muslim ghettos controlled by religious fanatics. These are Muslim neighborhoods, and they are mushrooming in every city across Europe. These are the building blocks for territorial control of increasingly larger portions of Europe, street by street, neighborhood by neighborhood, city by city. There are now thousands of mosques throughout Europe with larger congregations than there are in churches. And in every European city, there are plans to build super mosques that will dwarf every church in the region. Clearly, the signal is we rule. Many European cities are already one quarter Muslim. Just take Amsterdam, Marseille, and Malmo in Sweden. In many cities, the majority of the under 18 population is Muslim. Paris is now surrounded by a ring of Muslim neighborhoods. Mohammed is the most popular name among boys in Europe. In some elementary schools in Amsterdam, the farm can no longer be mentioned because that would also mean mentioning the swine. And that thought is an insult to Muslims. Many state schools in Belgium and Denmark only serve halal for food to all pupils. In once tolerant Amsterdam, gays are beaten up almost exclusively by Muslims. Non-Muslim women routinely hear, whore, whore. Satellite dishes are not pointed to local TV stations, but to stations in the country of origin. In France, school teachers are advised to avoid authors deemed offensive to Muslims, including Voltaire. The same is increasingly true of Darwin, and the history of the Jewish people or the Holocaust can no longer be taught or made mention of because of Muslim sensitivity. In England, Sharia courts are now officially part of the British legal system. Many neighborhoods in France are no-go areas for women without headscarves. Last week, a man almost died after being beaten up by Muslims in Brussels because he was drinking ale during Ramadan. Jews are fleeing France in record numbers on the run for the worst wave of anti-Semitism since World War II. French is now commonly spoken on the streets of Tel Aviv and Netanya, Israel, and I could go on forever with stories like this about Islamization. A total of 44 million Muslims now live in Europe. San Diego University recently calculated that a staggering 25% of the population in Europe will be Muslim in 10 years, and a Muslim majority by the end of the century. Now, these are just numbers, and the numbers would not be threatening if the Muslim immigrants had a strong desire to assimilate, but there are few, if any, signs of that. The Pew Research Center reported that half of French Muslims see their loyalty to Islam is greater than their loyalty to France. Muslims demand what they call respect, and this is how we give them respect. We have Muslim official state holidays. The Christian Democratic Attorney General are willing to accept Sharia in the Netherlands if there is a Muslim majority. We have cabinet members with passports from Morocco and Turkey. Muslim demands are supported by unlawful behavior ranging from petty crimes and random violence, for example, against ambulance workers and bus drivers, to small-scale riots. Paris has seen an uprising in the low-income suburbs. I call the perpetrators settlers. They do not come to integrate into our society. They come to integrate our society into Islam. They are settlers. Much of this street violence I mentioned is directed exclusively against non-Muslims, forcing many native people to leave their neighborhoods, their cities, and their countries. Moreover, Muslims are now a swing vote that is not to be ignored. Now you know why Winston Churchill called Islam the most retrograde force in the world. The public has wholeheartedly accepted the Palestinian narrative and sees Israel as the aggressor. I have lived in the country and visited it dozens of times. I support Israel first because it is the Jewish homeland after 2,000 years of exile up to and including Auschwitz. Second, because it is a democracy. And third, because of Israel is our first line of defense. This tiny country is situated on the fault line of jihad, frustrating Islam's territorial advance. Israel is facing the front lines of jihad like Kashmir, Kosovo, the Philippines, etc. Israel is simply in the way. The same way West Berlin was during the Cold War. The war against Israel is not a war against Israel. It is a war against the West. It is jihad. Israel is simply receiving the blows that are meant for all of us. If there would have been no Israel, Islamic imperialism would have found other venues to release its energy and desire for conquest. Thanks to Israeli parents who send their children to the army and lay awake at night, parents in Europe and America can sleep well and dream unaware of the dangers looming. Many in Europe argue in favor of abandoning Israel in order to address the grievances of our Muslim minorities. But if Israel were, God forbid, to go down, it would not bring any solace to the West. It would not mean our Muslim minorities would all of a sudden change their behavior and accept our values. On the contrary, the end of Israel would give enormous encouragement to the forces of Islam. They would, and rightly so, see the demise of Israel as proof that the West is weak and a paper tiger and doom. The end of Israel would not mean the end of our problems with Islam, but the beginning. It would mean the start of the final battle for world domination. If they can get Israel, they can get everything. The lights may go out in Europe faster than you can imagine. An Islamic Europe means a Europe without freedom, democracy, an economic wasteland, an intellectual nightmare, and a loss of military might for America, as its allies will turn into enemies, enemies with atomic bombs. With an Islamic Europe, it would be up to America alone to preserve the heritage of Rome, Athens, and Jerusalem. Think of just 10 years ago, this war, or this that we're seeing now, was not even, it was hardly existing. We didn't even know of its existence. And today, this is a reality. And it, of course, is because of the immigration policies that the European Union forced on all of the EU. And this, of course, has produced a major change. Now, it was at around the time that I was getting ready to preach this word on July the 4th, that I had, I think it was a dream. I'm not sure. I was awakened at 3 a.m. and I don't know if I went back to sleep or if this was a night vision, but I saw this as a warning to America. You know how that God always warns? He always warns us. He always tells us what's coming. This is your future. If you do this, you can keep that from coming. But I have to say this, that my father was a state, he was in state government. He was a statesman for sure. And that's all I ever knew was state government. But he was the most patriotic man I think that ever lived.
You have been listening to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. Thank you for listening to our message today from our 2016 Autumn Assembly of Prayer held in Branson, Missouri. Would you like to have this powerful conference series for yourself? Today, call our bookstore at 1-800-972-3447. 1-800-972-3447. And visit our website for archives of this broadcast and other exciting new content at billybrim.org. BILLYEBRIM.ORG.